Oh, okay. So Joseph is new, huh? Okay, tonight is the 10th January 2019, huh? Thursday. We are still early, huh? We haven't started yet. Joseph, you meditate before? Good. So you are used to SJBA's chanting and all those things. What? Breathing. What about metta? Loving kindness? Okay. Yeah. Nalanda, yes. Yeah, Brother Tan. Yeah, Brother Tan there. So the Buddhist teaching, are you familiar? Good. Then easier. Then the sharing can be a lot easier. I don't have to start from beginning. Okay, we can get ready for puja, 8:10. So, Suyan, you choose two. Brother Tim, Pama Sarika. Light the candle and incense. Can off the fan first, already. Oh, no, yeah. Okay. The rest of us stand. Sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can be seated. Then let us get ready for puja. Develop the sada, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now you chant the padipa puja offering of light. Gannasarapaditena dipena tamadangsena. Diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena do pe na hang su gang hi na pu ja ye pu ja ni yang tang pu ja ba ja na mu te mang wan na gan da go no pe tang e tang ku su ma san ta tin pu ja ya mi mu nin da se Siri pada sarorohe puje mi bedang kesume nanena punne namate na cehotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutemang Adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivasetu no bante bojana parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition sooner possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, of these offerings. May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Bedang pujayami. Damang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, yeah, you can proceed. Then for those who are new and those who still need instruction, yeah, I will give you some very simple instruction. Yeah. Just relax body and mind. Yeah. Then silent everything. Yeah. Just maintain awareness. Means maintain the silent mind. Yeah. If thought want to arise, let it arise. Yeah. Just silent. Don't be distracted by whatever that happened. As long as you try to maintain the silence within, your mind will settle down on its own. Yeah. And according to the Buddha, the reason why human being cannot develop the meditative state is because of the mental hindrance. When you don't have the spiritual faculties developed, the spiritual faculties are your Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. If you lack these five, the mental hindrance will arise. There are also five mental hindrance, and these are mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's the reason why most people have mental hindrance and their mind is heedless, constantly lost in thought. They cannot settle down because they have this sensual desire, ill will. They also have this lethargic mind. Then the worst is they have a lot of restlessness of mind. Restlessness of mind come about because they lack sati. They don't know how to attend to their daily life. And most of the time they develop what they call unnecessary fear, worry and anxiety whenever they encounter problem or situation. So all this fear, worry, anxiety is the cause of restlessness of mind. The mind becomes restless because of the worry, the anxiety. Then sometimes because you don't understand, you project your thought, fear arises. So fear, worry, anxiety will make you restless. And this is a very common mental hindrance for those who don't keep their precepts, for those who don't live by the Dhamma. If you make mistake, if you encounter problems in life, if you violate your precept, even society's law or whatever, then when you encounter a problem, you develop this restlessness of mind via fear, worry, anxiety. The last mental hindrance is doubt. When you are not sure what to do or why you are in this state, then whether you have developed the correct understanding to meditate or not. So this doubt, when they arise, it makes your mind very weak. Doubt appear because you lack faith, you lack understanding of the teaching, you lack the understanding of the Buddha's virtue and understanding. So these are the five mental hindrances. When they are there, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you can't meditate. So what we do here is I will teach you a skillful means to overcome the five mental hindrances temporarily before your spiritual faculty is developed. But for those who have already developed the spiritual faculty, you can meditate easily. The moment you sit, relax, silent, you are in the meditative state where your spiritual faculties take over, especially sati and samadhi. Then when you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed, because that faith will bring forth the composed mind, the calmness within. Then it will make you peaceful. Then after that, you just relax, silent. Sati will come in. Then when sati stabilizes, you have samadhi. With samadhi, you can meditate. You can understand many things. Okay. Then for those who still haven't developed their spiritual faculty, I will teach you the guided meditation to decondition your heedless thinking, to bring about temporary peace within. We call it the mind sweeping method. Yeah? So you relax body and mind, make sure you have a stable posture, then try to straighten your back, your backbone. Yeah? Make sure it's relatively straight, yeah, so that you don't slough. Mm. Then you silence everything, relax body and mind, close your eye. Then you shift your mental attention to your forehead. Mm. Just feel whatever tension, tightness or stress within your forehead, you just soothingly relax, relax and relax into it. Mm. Then you sweep your mind down, your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. If there is any tension, tightness or stress within your eye muscle, you just relax into it. Feel it soothingly relax. Mm. Normally after a tired day, yeah, your eye muscle are quite stressed up. Yeah? Then tight, not relaxed. So if you do this relaxation exercise, it will help you, yeah, to recuperate. Mm. Then you move the attention down further to your facial muscle. Feel each and every strand of your facial muscle and relax into it. If there's any tension, tightness or stress within, you just feel it soothingly relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down. Then in order to help you relax easier, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, your facial muscle relax on its own naturally. Then you can use loving kindness or metta to help develop the inner joy or the inner calmness and peacefulness. Mm. So inner peace can also go with inner well-being. Mm. Inner well-being is very important. So when we radiate love and metta, we will have this loving kindness mind state that brings about inner well-being. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite this body and mind of mine, you should feel your body and mind having this well-being and happiness. Then you can continue for one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel your entire body and mind, your entire being, having this well-being and happiness within. Then you can continue with your radiation of metta. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they all too be well and happy. Well and happy. there be peace, may there be love, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then we can extend this metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Subhanjaya, vicinity of Brother Suyan and Mifong's house, all Kayanamita, and all beings, seen and unseen, known and unknown, may they all too be well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can radiate this metta to all beings within the vicinity of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, and radiate to all beings within the solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy. May their body and mind too be without suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Now you can come back to your facial muscle, feel and relax. Then sweep it down to your neck, feel, relax. Then shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move on your attention to your heart area or chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. This is also where the life force arises and passes away. This is also the seat of consciousness. The consciousness resides within your heart and your nature too. There is a gateway there. So what you do is you feel your chest area, silent everything. Just maintain silent. You can detect anything, whether any vibration or your heartbeat. Just silent everything and stay with it. Yeah. Until it's required, very peaceful, maintain mindfulness. But if you are new, if you don't have the stability of mindfulness to feel your heartbeat or to feel the vibration there, you can just do the normal mind sweeping method. You can just feel your heart area or your chest area. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. You just relax into it. Then you move it down, your attention to your stomach. Feel, again relax. Then shift it down to your abdomen. Silence everything and feel and relax. Yeah. Then after that, you move it down to your leg. Feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. You can reverse this whole mind sweeping method exercise from the buttock up back to your forehead. Eh? You feel your buttock again, feel, don't think, just feel, then relax. Your leg, feel, relax. Then you move your attention to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then move it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then move it to your chest area, do the same, silence everything and just feel. and relax into it. Then you move up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then your neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel, relax into the entire facial muscle. All of the muscle there that you can feel. Then you move your attention up to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Then your forehead. Feel, relax. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Your mind should be quiet. But you need to anchor this mind. Otherwise, it will wander off very fast. So I will teach you another skillful means to stabilize this trained mind that is already quiet and peaceful. If you are not familiar with any object of meditation, then I will recommend the breath, your breath. You can train your mind to develop what they call anapanasati, as taught by the Buddha. The Buddha said, you just maintain silent in front of your nostril, silent everything, and just feel. Whenever the mind can detect the breathing, let the breathing go in and go out naturally. Then as the breathing moves, your awareness or your mind will detect it. Then according to instruction from the Buddha, he said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Yeah. So train your mind in this way. This is what anapanasati is. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So mindfulness of the in and out breath is the training of the mind to be aware. Initially, you are not used to it. You have not been training. Anapanasati is not easy. You will come to realize split second, your mindfulness is gone. The thought will become heedless. It will wander off and think of something else. If that happens, don't worry. Just patiently bring your attention back to your nostril, where the breathing goes in and goes out. Just silence everything and maintain awareness again. Yeah. So if you are patient enough, not long, the anapanasati will develop. Yeah. If you can develop it, then I rejoice. Sadhu. Because once anapanasati comes into play, you will feel the calmness within. When the mind is just aware without thought, it is peaceful. You will experience what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Yeah. And you will experience that spiritual calmness or spiritual joy straight away, very fast. Then as it arises, you will feel good. Then if you continue to relax into it and silence everything, this piti will become more and more calm. Until finally, it will become more refined until you experience what they call sukhang or blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very peaceful, very blissful, full of joy leading to bliss within. Yeah. Then as you continue to relax and silent, this sukhang will transform further and your mind will become very quiet. Your breath very subtle, very still, like no more breathing. Then your mind will enter sati. Then it will experience what they call the tranquility of mind or the stillness of mind within. That is your meditative mind. That is the state of pasati. Yeah. Pasati is an enlightenment factor. It is the mind that experiences peace, true peace within, no movement, nothing. That's why we call it tranquility, stillness, very still, no movement. So I will let you train your mind and develop this stability of sati leading to pasati. Then after that, you use this stable mind to meditate, where this is the silent mind, the meditative mind that can develop the meditation and understand many, many things. It can understand how you function as a human being. It can allow you to see all the essential Dhamma within your form and mind. Then it can also give rise to wisdom, understanding, awakening, everything. Okay. Now I'll let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell when the half an hour is up. attention. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Vadanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Vadanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Vadanta
Namo Tassa Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Bedang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind, yeah? Then maintain some more attention. Then we will continue our second session. Second session is meditation reporting. Huh? You just report exactly how you do the meditation. Huh? No need to add anything or subtract anything, just as it is. Yeah. Then if you got any question, you can ask. Question can be related to meditation or the teaching, the Dhamma. Mm. You can also ask whatever question that is related to the practice, yeah? How to apply this teaching that you have developed, yeah? So that you know how to apply it and use it to live life, to overcome whatever life problem that you have, yeah? And to lead the good life. Mm. Okay. Anybody wants to report meditation, you just put up your hand. Ah, yeah. Oh, sadhu. Okay. You use this one. Use this one. Yeah.
That's good. I just volunteering.
Yeah, can.
Teaching Sunday Dhamma School.
Yes, you should.
Briefings already started.
Oh, good.
For the first class.
Brickfield, the Sunday class is quite big. Huh? Yeah. They got quite a lot of students. Now, I don't know. Last time,
my 300 time. Over students.
Oh, a lot of students, yes. Yeah. Good.
Like, I started very teaching good. The, before beginning the class, I started teaching the 12 years old children
about
meditation.
Yeah, that's very good.
10 minutes, But I have difficulties to explain to them the benefit of meditation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to the children.
I will share. I will share with you. Okay, that is very good. Okay. I will just send out the Thursday class short notes. I send it out first before I answer your question. Just send out the last Thursday class outline short note. Huh? Okay, regarding the benefits of meditation, this is a very good topic for you to share with the Sunday school people, or even people who likes meditation, because very few people understand the real benefits of meditation. So these benefits of meditation, there are many. Then from there, you can develop a lot of very good personality. Then at the same time, your mind states are different. Then it can also bring about good health, recovery from whatever medical situation you are in. Then it helps you in your study, understand? Because when you develop the ability to meditate, to train your mind, your mind is quiet, peaceful, then there is clarity. Then you can concentrate better. Yeah. Means you can really study. You won't feel sleepy, because sleepiness is one of the mental hindrances. So the benefit of meditation is it brings about a lot of wholesomeness within your mind states. Mm-hmm. So the very first benefit, the easiest, is to develop inner peace. Yeah? Inner peace. So you can check with all those who came for meditation. Why do they want to meditate? And especially kindergarten kids. You ask them to sit quiet, they cannot. Their mind is very wild, very active. They think a lot. Initially, it's like forcing them not to move. But then, a lot of people, they use loving kindness or metta to start off with, so that there is something for them to verbalize. So that they can use that verbalization to feel and to express that feeling, like love. So may when you get them to recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you feel the body and mind, your entire body and mind, each and every cell within, be well and happy, well and happy. You must get them to feel each and every of the cells within the physical body having this well-being and happy energy inside. So when these cells have all this well-being and happy energy, or what they call loving-kindness energy, the vibration is very good, and this cell will recuperate and they will be very healthy, because these are positive energy field. You feel the well-being inside you, the inner peace bringing about the inner well-being. So this is the first benefit, inner peace. So human beings' mind, because they have not trained, they don't have their spiritual faculty, like just now I explained. Without this spiritual faculty, the mind becomes heedless. The mental hindrance become very active. That's why they cannot develop the meditative state, especially in the midst of life. They have to go to quiet place, retreat or whatever. Then they use method and technique to anchor the mind. Then they focus, concentrate to develop the inner peace. But for us who understand, we don't have to do that. Inner peace can come by itself when you understand. First, if you lack the five spiritual faculty, inner peace will not be there. Because you need these five spiritual faculty to make you peaceful. Take for example the first spiritual faculty of Saddha. Saddha is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. So when you have this faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, through knowing who he is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful the teaching that he has realized, it can bring about enlightenment. It can bring about great transformation, personality-wise, character-wise, wisdom-wise. Then it can free your mind from all suffering. It can bring about the inner peace, the inner calmness, the inner well-being, the peace within, the clarity of mind. So all this will give you very strong faith and confidence in the Buddha. And because of that, your mind is very calm, very composed. And you will not doubt. There is no more doubt. Because when you know, if he can do it, means he is the real one. He has spent aeons and aeons of life cultivating to become the fully enlightened. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened, perfect in enlightenment. So this first spiritual faculty will already make your mind composed, calm. Then you have to arise the second spiritual faculty, which is virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal. After you know how wonderful this teaching is, how important this teaching is, you will go all out and cultivate. And this is a spiritual zeal within you that wants to cultivate because you see the importance. So this virya will come by. It's like when you have passion for something, you will be very determined to train your mind, to develop it. Yeah, you will go all out. So this is called a spiritual tenacity or spiritual zeal inside. There's an energy inside that drives you to cultivate. So when this one is there, you won't be sleepy. Sloth and torpor will not come in because this will drive you. You see the importance. You will do it. With these two, you will start to cultivate. And the first thing about meditation is to train your mind to be aware, mindful. That's why sati. When you are without thought, you're already aware. That's why I say just relax, silent, don't do anything. The mind that doesn't think is in sati. So this sati will come if you just relax, silent, and let whatever thought arise and let it settle down. Because once there is no more thought energy given to that thought, the thought will not continue. The thought will just dissipate and cease. That's how you develop this inner calmness or inner awareness. When you are just aware without thought, your mind is very quiet, very peaceful, very calm. Then when you stabilize it, it will become samadhi. Samadhi is the collected and unwavering mind. And this one has strength, has what they call the calmness energy. Not born of a conditioned mind, born of a free mind that is in a state of peacefulness, inner peace with inner awareness, with the stability. So that when you come out of the meditation, even in the midst of life, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or think of something, the mind does not stir because it's collected and unwavering. Even loud thunder or whatever, it will be very, very collected, unwavering. It will stay there. That is the stability. Yeah. So when there is sati and samadhi, the mind can see things as they are, clearly, without delusion, without the thought, the memory, the conditioning coming in to interpret what you see. It will see things as they are. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Then it will awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature of existence. So all this will bring about the ability of the mind to meditate. Because when wisdom arises, you understand. You know what to do. Then whenever you have this five spiritual faculty, your sati will make you calm, make you peaceful. Your samadhi will make you unwavering. Yeah. Then this spiritual faculty will stop all the five mental hindrances. Sensual desire and ill will stop when you are in sati. Because without thought, the mind cannot have any craving, whether positive or negative. Then virya, sloth and torpor will cease to be. Then with what they call samadhi, there is no more restlessness of mind. Even when you are in sati, and with the wisdom and samadhi, you can never be restless anymore. Yeah. Then there is also no more doubt when you have the faith. Yeah. So that's how the five mental hindrance even naturally cease when the spiritual faculty are developed. So the fastest way to develop meditation is to work on this. Yeah. Then most people can do the first two. The third one, they find it very difficult because they don't understand. Yeah. But the fastest way to do the third one or sati is to just relax and silent the mind. Don't do anything. Yeah. When you relax and silent the mind, it's easiest. But before these five spiritual faculty come in, if they want to meditate, then you have to teach them the mind sweeping method combined with metta, like what I taught you just now. For just so, I will give you some books. before you leave, I will give you some books. The instructions are typical Thursday class, so no need to remember. You go back and read, you will understand. So what is happening is most people, when they don't have the spiritual faculty, their mental hindrance are there. So they cannot concentrate. They cannot develop the meditative mind. So what they do is they go for method and technique, object of meditation. Then they try to fix the mind, concentrate and focus. That's how they debate. And most people do meditation without understanding. They ask for instruction to meditate. Teach me how to meditate. Then the instruction will come. You do breathing, anapanasati. Or you do rising, falling. You go and note this, note that. Focus here, focus there. Or you do chanting. Or dynamic meditation and other things. But not knowing that all this are skillful means to train the mind. Because they don't have this spiritual faculty. They cannot develop the meditative state to meditate. So they need something, the object of meditation. Even all method, technique and skillful means, they have this object of meditation to anchor your mind so that your mind will not wander off into thinking mode and become heedless. So they use it to anchor. But they need to give the mind something. Otherwise, the mind will wander off also. So instead of develop mindfulness on the object of meditation, which anapanasati is, they will go and focus on it or develop absorption into it. Yeah, because that will make your mind very calm, very peaceful. So most people end up focusing or going into absorption to develop the inner peace. So this inner peace is the first benefit of meditation. It will come when your mind is quiet. Quiet means does not think. When there is no thinking. When there is no thinking. So this one is very natural. When there is no thinking, the mind will develop inner peace. No thinking means without thought. Without thought means you are in sati. So this one means you are in sati or mindfulness. When you are mindful, you are without thought. So all byproduct of meditation, if you know how to train the mind, you will develop inner peace. Then if you know how to relax into it, you will feel the energy moving inside. Because when you don't know how to relax, your energy will be blocked. That's why relaxation is key for success in meditation. So our four main support, the first one is relax. All people who do yoga also same. They need to relax. Otherwise their chi cannot flow and they are not flexible. Yeah. So when they relax, their chi can flow, they become flexible. Yeah. Then they will develop deep calmness. When your body is relaxed, the chi flow, your mind will become very calm, very peaceful. Yeah. So that's the reason why with inner peace, if you know how to relax, then this peace will become more stable. That's why I went through just now with you. You will experience what they call PT. From here, you will develop what they call PT, Sukhang, and finally, Pasati. Piti is spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, or some call it spiritual rapture. Your mind like rapture into a very good feeling. It's like you feel very good. Yeah. But as you relax into it, it becomes more refined. Then you experience what they call blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very blissful, really blissful. Yeah. Then after that, you continue to relax in it, into it. The breath becomes very quiet. Your object of meditation becomes very quiet. The mind becomes very quiet until it becomes very still, tranquility. So this one is tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. This is your true mind or your meditative mind. Tranquility. Yeah. Yeah. All of meditation, the training, is to develop this meditative mind, the silent mind. Yeah. Or they call it paucity. Tranquility or stillness of mind. Yeah. Then with inner peace, normally your body will recuperate. Because this calmness energy is very soothing. Good vibration, very peaceful. Then it like recuperate your body. You feel good. Yeah. Then if you combine with loving kindness, if you radiate love, well-being and peace towards your physical body and your mind state, then you will develop what they call the inner well-being. Inner well-being. So this is the second benefit of meditation. With inner peace and inner well-being, you will be able to develop the third benefit. The third benefit is clarity of mind. When there is no more thinking, your mind becomes very quiet. Then it becomes very, very clear. Means you can see things as they are, without the distraction of thought, without any emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, whatever duality and emotion, it doesn't arise. That's why inner peace and inner well-being will lead to clarity of mind. Your mind becomes like very clear. Clarity of mind has a lot of benefits. What are the benefits you have with the clarity of mind? What are the benefits? Huh? You can see things clearly, isn't it? Then you can make better decisions, isn't it? Clear not? It will help you in your career, isn't it? In your study, isn't it? In your job, isn't it? That's why clarity of mind brings about a lot of benefits. The improvement of health, everything is there, understand? So this will bring about health improvement. Improvement. So this clarity, just now you know, clarity of mind can bring about many benefits. So this one, yeah, can allow you to see things clearly. Allow you to see things clearly. Yeah. So when you can do that, you can make better decision. Can make better decision. Then can study better. Study better. Then can work more efficiently. So these are the byproduct, or they call it the byproduct benefits of meditation. Then after that, the fifth one is on. Yeah? What is the fifth one? Yeah? You can have a mind that concentrate better. That will help you in the study. Mind that has samadhi. So this mind that has samadhi enable you to concentrate better. When you can concentrate better means you can study better, you can work more efficiently and do a lot of things so much better. Yeah. Then after that you can develop the last one is what? The wisdom, the direct seeing. Yeah? So this one is develop wisdom leading to enlightenment. Leading to enlightenment. And the moment you are enlightened or awakened, there's a lot of benefits. You become a blessing to the world. Understand? Character-wise, personality-wise, wisdom-wise, you are so different. And you can live the noble life. You can help a lot of people. You can really contribute to the humanity and the world. Yeah. And the benefits of meditation is limitless when you develop the wisdom. After you have developed the wisdom. Yes. Oh, sorry. yeah. T-E-N. Yeah. Thank you. That's why I sense why the word so short. Normally this word is quite long. That's why when Ingby mentioned the spelling, means miss out the E-N. Yes.
Another benefit that I gain from meditation is I attract abundant, good, positive things.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, example, like today, I was having lunch, and then I talked to the business owner, restaurant. I need a sponsor to fund my Dharma school.
Yes.
Then they immediately say, I'll sponsor 10,000.
Correct.
Yeah,
this is possible because, no, you know why? Because your mind state is different. People can feel you. Do you know when I was in the uni, I meditate a lot and I have a lot of metta at that time. So what happened was, every time I want to do something, even at an interview or what, I tell you the first five job, the first five I apply, all I get. Every interview I go, I will get the job. Very funny. Because I have this metta. Then the personality, people can feel you. You are very sincere. You are very genuine. And when you go in, you speak in such a way, they know you are good. And you have that clarity, that understanding. And you have that metta that can touch them. Yeah. Everywhere I go, they feel it. Yeah. Those who work with me, they will know. I may look very simple, because you look at me, I don't have nice watches, I don't wear anything, and I'm very simple. Yeah. But when people get to know me, they will know that this person is different. Because the way you understand things, the way you approach it, you have the embodiment of the Dhamma, the Noble Eightfold Path. And this Dhamma is not the traditional, rigid Dhamma. This Dhamma that you have must be something that is related to life. You can apply it. means the living Dhamma. You know the difference between knowledge Dhamma and living Dhamma. Huh? The one that can live life. Huh? That can bring about positive result. Yeah. Means not theory. A lot of people study Dhamma, theoretical Dhamma, but they cannot apply Atasana. They become very crude when they go out. So for you, you can apply it and see it, means you attract not only positive people, you actually have this positive energy, good mind state, yeah, that can actually bring about the what they call good condition for people to help you. Yeah. Ah, yes, Angie, pass the mic to Angie. Yeah. Yeah. On it, just on it.
Brother Tim,
yeah, yes.
I think after practicing meditation and
yes.
Dharma, I think a lot of people, even including me, you know, we are more inward looking.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we are not so, you know, competitive with with the outsiders.
Very
you know,
good.
With other people,
very
especially, you know, those material
things.
We are, you know.
That
know,
is
now,
the other aspect that you will come to know. Very
so
good. Sadhu.
Especially the, you know, young people.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Now they are also, you know, influenced by social
media. Yeah.
You know, so many external.
And also peer pressure.
Peer pressure, and a lot of
people. They want to dress up nicely. Well, nowadays it's about trend, isn't it? Fashion, fashion shoe, fashion shirt, fashion dress. Then if you don't dress, last time during my time in MU, they say the engineering faculty on all apian one. You know what is apian? Square. Don't know how to dress up. Don't know how to like lopun. You know what is lopun? Invest on yourself, buy nice clothing, perfume, everything. So what Angie shared also is very true, including you are Wendy, that one is Angie. You will have more and more humility, understand? You will not be like previously. Most people look for what they call status, understand? Like she used the word, you are not so materialistically conscious, understand? Otherwise, they will tend to develop this status awareness and so on. They want to have status. They want to impress people. That's why they want to have nice car and so on. No money also, never mind. Pay installment. Yeah? Everywhere safe, but status must have. Then buy, nowadays maybe latest model of handphone. Huh? Then you have all your other things. But if you have the Dhamma, the wisdom, you will know all these are not important. The important one is your wisdom, your understanding, your virtue. When you have this, people will know you. Last time, I remember, they used to say that Thai outlet. You heard of this Amani there? Huh? Amani, they say very expensive. You go in, the sales girl and the sales guy there, they look at you, you very, very simple, nothing, they don't come near you, they don't even want to talk to you. They say, oh, papa. So, at first I don't know. I suddenly went into one of them. That time I was still very young. Really, what they say was true, because I didn't have anything. The sales girl don't want to look at me. They go and look at the uncle with the golden frame one, all those things, with the nice watches and all. Then what happened was, I tried to find out, because I remember I got a voucher, don't know, they sent me this voucher. I thought voucher, that time, 150 ringgit, no? You think you can buy something, and then 150 ringgit at my time during the 80s, no? I went into Amani. I can't find anything below 150. Then finally, I asked that girl, I have this voucher. Is there anything I can buy? He said, you have to top up with money. I said, don't want to top up, can or not? She looked around, she said, handkerchief lah. So finally, I bought one handkerchief with that voucher, and I got to pay the difference. So the handkerchief was, I think, almost 180 something. Then you know what happened? Later on, after I retired already, I walk in again. This time they entertain me. They didn't know. It's retired people with some white hair. They got money on. Then they come and talk to me. Then they say, Uncle, don't worry. He say, take your time. He say, look, anything you don't know or you want to know, I'm here for you. That's why different. So when you have this, what they call the means, you shouldn't be too thrifty. Understand? You have the means, pamper yourself a bit. Understand? Use it for the good of the many, not only for you, your loved ones, to help people, to help society, to help mankind. So all this is what Dhamma is. So initially, like my father used to tell me, he said, when you started in Korea, if you are not from a rich family or wealthy family, you had to be frugal, my father told me. That's why he is very frugal. He saved everything just for the family. Then he wear very simple, dress very simple, eat also very simple. And for his whole life, he and my mother never go to a cinema before. Until when we graduated, we insist he go. So these are the things that he taught me. He says, first, frugal. Actually, it's correct. Because if you are not frugal, if you are spendthrift, you cannot save. You agree or not? If you cannot save, means your seed money for you to do business or to do investment, to grow your money, is not there. In fact, later on, after I became successful, I realized the most important thing is your seed money. You know what is seed money? The one that grow your wealth. It's like a seed. As an engineer, I realized I cannot survive. Well, when I graduated, I was with the government servant. My salary was only 985. Maybe Sui Admi Fong electrical one outside private sector higher pay. We got only 985. After I pay my income, not income tax, EPF, I'm left with 900. 900 divided by 30. One day how much? 30 ringgit, isn't it? 30 ringgit, I got a wife, Luckily, no house, Got to rent a room, And with 30 ringgit, to start a family, you think easier. Motorbike also borrowed from my brother, Then I told my wife, My wife is just a temporary teacher, primary school teacher, 200 ringgit. She herself also cannot survive, barely survive. So what I need to do is I told her, I know how to make money, I know how to grow my money, but I need money, So I'm willing to do anything, part-time or whatever. So what happened was very lucky. There was one insurance guy keep on coming to see me and ask me to buy insurance. I say, I can't even feed myself. How can I buy insurance? He said, never mind, Mr. Teo. I introduced to you first the policy. Later on, only I came to know why he wants to talk to me. I asked a lot of questions. And I gave him a lot of idea. But he was also new to insurance. So after almost 7 times he came and see me, I said, whatever policy you recommend, I cannot afford. That's it. Even though I already confirmed with him, really can claim one or not. But last time I got this suspicion, insurance or jialang. When it comes to claim, a lot of paperwork and a lot of delay and all those things. But I say this one, if I buy for my family or my kid, I must make sure Then he explained to me all the trust and all those things, and sure, can claim on. The 2 year suicide clause after that, no contest. They sure claim, I pay you and all. So I said, okay, everything good, but the premium is no good. I say I want high protection, low premium. No need money back. No need investment return, nothing. He said, you are the most funny guy to buy insurance. I say, you don't understand the principle. I draw a chart. No? You know what is the chart? No, oh, no more space. Anyway, I say, as a graduate engineer, I know if I get to live my life up to age 50 and up, I will make my money. The money will be there. Huh? But if I don't get to live, let's say something happened, I need insurance to cover me very heavily. And that's how, because it's inverse square rule. Before I reach 50, my wealth is castle, you know, in the castle, you know, like building castle in the air. The money hasn't come out. But as I work, the longer I work, I can actually cover myself, you know, self-insured. You know. After 10 years, I don't need insurance already. And you know, he sold me what policy or not? Term policy. Term policy, no money back on. Everything is, if you don't die, they take all on. Yeah. I said, that is what I want. I said, 100,000, how much? He said, 250 ringgit. Oh, I said, this is what I want. He was so surprised. He said, I think I know what you want. So he sold me this policy. Then after that, I say I want to buy 250,000. Because 700, about 700 ringgit, I can afford, I say. Because I straight away insured 250. So with zero base, before I have any saving, I already know I will have 250,000 for my children and my wife. That's why I bought that term policy. Then after that, he say, you willing to burn your money? I say, what's wrong? Because to me, that 700 ringgit is nothing. If I live another 5 years, I will make my money already. I know I will make my money already. So that's why my philosophy was different. So because of that, what I did was, he came and told me, he said, since you are so good, why not you join me? I said, what do you mean, join you? He said, sell insurance. I say, I'm an engineer, how can I sell insurance? Go. Yeah, don't worry. Wow, haven't met you quite a while. Yeah, Sadhu, we also. Yeah, my wife in front of you. Yeah, this is Sui An and Mi Feng's daughter. Hui Wen. So when he asked me, join him, you know. I said, how can I join you? I'm a civil engineer. He said, part-time. Wow, I said, got such job, part-time. He said, go park under me. He said, you go and take exam. He said, oh, take exam, very easy. He passed me all the book, you know. So I went, I cleared the exam. After that, he said, you join me. I said, join you means what? He said, you get client. Okay, I said, anyway, I go through the training. But the training was very good, no? Very professional. No? They teach you how to do it. No? How to, they call it what? Your prospect. There's a word called prospect. Yeah, correct. Oh, he said, you must list out your prospect. Prospect means what? Got prospect to buy insurance from you or no? Oh, so there must be a few conditions to satisfy. You know. Prospect means they must have a need for the insurance. Understand? They must have money to buy the insurance. Oh, I say, I'm not a prospect, but I don't have money to buy. But I can still sell them term and explain to them why they still need. So because of that, I first target was my classmate. My friend, I go and tell them, hey, we should make money on. But if just in case anything happen, you want this insurance coverage? Wow, everybody want. So I first year I was top agent. Second year also top agent. Third year also top agent. And for that 3 years, I had the seed money of almost 50,000 extra income. And I used that to invest. And that's how I make my money. I only take out 30,000. And within that first 2 years of investment, I make 5 times, 150,000. My SS2 house was free. That's why without that seed money, cannot. You understand? That's why you need seed money, understand? Not? Why did I come to this topic? It's something to do with the Dhamma. Oh, yeah. Good. Thank you. You see, that's why I say, when you have the means, no need to be like last time, frugal already. But also don't become indulgent. Means, if you can afford it, you can have the means, why not? But the most important thing is you must know how to grow your money, grow your network. Otherwise, not easy, you know. Nowadays, they say standard of living very high, you know. Everything is going up. So, unless you know how to grow your money, the problem with most people is when they are about to retire. You know what happened when you were about to retire, especially the older, more senior staff, private sector. When you are 50 and above, the boss will freeze your salary. Do you know that? They say there are a lot of younger graduates, cheaper, much cheaper and more efficient than you. And you got no choice. Then most of them, after they retire, their EPF not much money, you know, especially those who are not professional. The professional one, maybe their salary higher, they have good money at EPF retirement. Then they, from the EPF interest, more or less, I think you can live quite a reasonable life with quite good, especially government servant with the pension some more. Otherwise, it's not easy. So I realized a lot of Kayamita during the early days, the first batch, most of them are not graduate or no. Some are graduate, but most of them couldn't really have a permanent job with good pay or no. Sometimes they are freelance and they do a few jobs. So their EPL also not much money. So if they don't know how to grow their money, when they retire, they will run out of cash flow very fast. And according to survey, most people within 3 years, their EPF money all gone. Most people. After they withdraw, they will spend, they buy car first, then maybe renovate house, then do something. Then after that, not much cash left. So, seed money to grow your money, to maintain your income level or cash flow level so that you can continue with your normal life. Don't have to depend so much on your children. You understand? Children, no guarantee. The only guarantee is you must raise them, provide them with the education, everything. But the other way around, no guarantee. Understand? It depends. If you got good karma, good children, and you need them, they will be there for you. But most of the time, you have to be self-sufficient. So that your life is taken care of. And nowadays, parents, they not only hope their children take care of them, they have to actually take care of their children. The first house, you have to help them to buy, otherwise not easy for them to afford it. So all this is part and parcel of understanding Dhamma too. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Not the rigid knowledge Dhamma, which is not applicable to life. The one that is applicable to life is for you to understand. This teaching is so beautiful. When you understand, you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. That's why the way my nature come, this life, it's like everything is already taken care of. Everything was already there. And I met with the correct people, did the correct thing, and I understand how to do all this. That's why you read my seminal book, yeah? Success in Life, yeah? Based on Dhamma. That is a very good book. So most people can develop success in life. What are the success you look forward to in life? Forget about the spiritual one first. Yeah? The normal mundane success. What is it? Yeah? First thing is what? When you are young. Yeah? What is it? Good grade. Academic success. Yeah? But before that also you must have good karma. Born into a good family with good parents. Yeah? With good condition so that you can have a education. Otherwise, education also don't know how to have good grade. Understand? So, good karma to be born into a family where you have parents who can provide for your education, then academic success. Okay? After academic success, what you do? You come out and work, isn't it? So you look forward to what? Career success. Yeah? Financial freedom. Correct not? Let's say you have them all. Yeah? Like this life. Yeah. Academic success. Most of us have, because we did well. Then we come out to work. I reached the pinnacle of my career. That's why I like my job. And I did very well because of my Dhamma understanding. Then financially also I did very well. So I have academic success, career, financial. Then the fourth one is very difficult. Family success, relationship success, understand? Not many people can have. A lot of people got money, but their relationship with their children and their wife, some wives, plural, very complicated. So not easy. Family harmony, family relationship based on understanding and Dhamma is not easy to come by. So relationship success is not easy. Not easy. Unless you have the Dhamma. But even let's say you have them all, academic success, career, financial, relationship, you have good family, beautiful family. Do you think your life is complete? Huh? It's not complete, is it? You have to confront the first noble truth reality there. Birth, away, sickness and death, isn't it? Separation from loved one, is it? Or prized possession, all those things. Then when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want. Then when you have delusion, you don't have the Dhamma, you attach and cling to this five aggregate of form and mind. You can also have suffering and misery. That's why a lot of people got depression. And I was told last night, don't know true or not, they say dentist is a career that has the highest depression. True or not? Dentist, a lot of depressed cases. You read it before, yeah. Yeah, confirm. Well, I spoke to one of my friends, got two daughters, twin, study dentistry. But I tell you, it's good money. You know why it's good money? The moment they graduate, their basic pay 5,000 something, that one is nothing. Then after that, they heard, after you pass your training, you can go to this hospital, the dental hospital, special one, private one. They pay you 40% of whatever charges. No, you take a cut of 40%. No, everything is theirs. No, huh? And one day, you say, 10 to 15 client, patient, not client. Their 1 month income, I think 15 over 1,000. No, yeah, average. Yeah, new graduate, no. But they say depression is because every day look at Gigi. So then when they see you, they look at your teeth first. They don't look at your face. Oh, this one got very good teeth. Oh, this one don't know how to take care of. This one will come and see me or see the dentist. Then they told me got one gum specialist. Very seldom you have one. There's a name for it. Sam was the one that told us. His wife went and consult one gum specialist. Wow, really expensive, the charges. He says, somebody recommend you, you call the number, you make appointment, you go there. They just look at your teeth only, before doing anything. 200 Aussie. Look only. And Australia, Melbourne. Then he said, okay, next appointment you come back. Then come back, he checked one quadrant of your tooth, the gum. One quadrant, no, 750 OC. Medication not checked. No. Just to tell you what you need to do. Oh, there are four quadrants. No. Then after he prescribed something, the fee again different. No. Then after that, he tell you 2 months later, come and see me. Their consultation minimum 200 OC. Yeah. So, I don't know whether that type of career is good or not. Huh? You like that type of career? Every day see teeth, I cannot do. it's their passion. Yes, correct. There are a lot of people do because of passion. Yeah. Then that one different. Huh? For us, we cannot understand. No, they got depression. I also don't know why. Huh? You read before, is that Joseph? Yeah. But did they explain why they... Yeah, then it's easier. Yeah, yeah. Correct. If it's not your calling, yeah.
But actually, it's not their calling.
Yeah, it's so not their calling. Yeah.
So it's very stressful.
Very stressful. Yeah. Correct. Now I understand. I think that is correct. Because career is almost all of your working life. That whole period, you are with that same career now. If you don't choose a career that you like, I tell you, you can be miserable. And I was very happy I became a civil engineer. You know why? I cannot take the 9-to-5 work on. No. Every day in the office, 9-to-5, because I'm very efficient. So I finish my thing very fast. Then I got nothing to do. No. Very boring. And as a civil engineer, I like my job. No. If nothing to do, go out. I can go to site. Then I can go and see my friend and all those things. Then I can exchange whatever opinion with them, design. You know. Then we share our experience. Then sometimes visit their site also. We got a lot of things to do as engineer. So I was telling myself, wow, really lucky. If I end up in a 9-to-5 office, you sleepy also cannot sleep. You understand? In the office. But but the accountant is okay. Accountant, when they reach accountant, they don't have to do that. I got a colleague who is very close friend Sam. He's accountant, become financial controller. No worry. He can go out with me anytime for lunch and all those things. But he got all the accountant under him, the whole of the account, everything under him, and he is the head. So they only report to him. So he just read report. Anything. He just get them to do. But you must be in that senior position. Otherwise, it's not easy. Okay. I have to finish off the question. Okay, Wendy. So these are the benefits. Then, of course, if you want to add just now, like what you share, you tend to attract positive vibe and all those things because your well-being, your inner well-being, inner peace, clarity of mind, your wisdom and your nature or your demeanor will help you to have that type of what they call mind state and character and personality that people will see in you. Then they are willing to like support you in whatever way. Like you ask for donation for Dhamma Sunday School. They just donate like that. Yeah, 10,000 is not a small sum. But there are people who donate a lot. Just you just cannot believe. The money just like that. Because they believe in that cause. And they just donate like that. And I have seen them donating before. And sometimes you don't believe. They don't want their name to be known. They put under anonymous. They just donate. You know of Tsuji, the Kepong land, that site? That site, the whole piece of land, somebody donated. It's don't know how many million. I think 10 or 20 million, easily. Then the whole building they built, it cost them almost 100 over million. So, got people donate. So when it comes to donation, they have the parami. Then, like, you look at even those that we heard of, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Belinda and Bill Foundation. They're so wealthy, and yet they donated so much of their wealth. Bill Gates donated almost 90% of his wealth, Warren Buffett 60%. Then even our local entrepreneur too, they donate a lot. So if you have the means, you will have the condition to either partake or do all this wholesomeness. And whatever you do, if you understand the Dhamma, it will go back to your nature. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. So if you have planted the seed of wholesomeness, goodness, generosity, and you donate. When you donate means it will come back to you as a fruition. Means you will receive the fruition. Means your nature will receive back all this money. It will come back to you in one way or other. That's why this line I know. Somehow the money will come. How it come, people call it luck. Nothing to do with luck. But your understanding also important. Without understanding, not easy. Yeah. But sometimes they say nature is very fair. Gong lang, you heard of gong lang? Gong jia ti gong. Means heaven. Jia ti gong call. Rely on heaven. They like very lucky, you know, the money just come. Yeah. But there are combination of character, combination of condition. Yeah. Like this line, you don't believe. My father, when I was born, he was a salesman. He helped to sell only don't know how many tickets, less than 10 tickets. That time Singapore on social welfare. The person who bought strike second prize. Oh, that time was a lot of money. And his commission was 5,000 in the early 60s. 5,000 ringgit in the early 60s, share with somebody. 2005-ish. Share with the uncle. And you know, from the 2005, that seed money, our whole family became very different. He went back to Alostar, buy a shop lot for only 200 ringgit. Shop lot. No. That's how we have our business and all this thing. Then he used that money to invest and buy some paddy land and all this thing. So during that time, money was really big. Yeah. Then later on, immediately after I graduated, I wanted to get married. I got no money, nothing. No house, nothing. So you know what happened? I never worry, I never even think about, But the funny thing, the moment I engaged, my father-in-law strike social welfare first prize. And he passed the ticket to me and asked me to help him check. Seven digit off strike. At first I thought this was an imitate one. He said, no, real one. He said, I said, you're trying to pull my leg. He said, no, real one. And really, I never believe got paid out one. That time 500,000 was a very big sum of money. And I really witness it. And this type of money can come if you have the parami. That's why after that, I don't have to worry about the house. End of June, I engage. August, early August, strike. Early September, bought the house. So, got place, everything there. So, then, everything very smooth. It's like meant to be, No need to worry. Take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. Take care of your, I should say, good life. And everything will go your way. That's why this teaching is very wonderful when you understand. We go through the benefits again. Eh? First, you will develop inner peace. You learn how to meditate. You learn to develop the spiritual faculty. You learn to be mindful and aware. Your mind will calm down. You will have inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Yeah, be a very positive energy. So especially if you have people who are depressed, have cancer or severe sickness or disease. All these diseases come about nowadays, the doctor also know. The main cause is stress. You agree or not? Stress is the main cause, the highest. If you are in a stressful environment with a lot of problem, a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, this negative energy field is the one that causes your immune system to go down. That's why your cell mutate and you will succumb to disease. And all this disease can be very traumatic. Yeah. So people with that, if they want to reverse it, they need to learn how to meditate. Develop inner peace, good positive vibration, calmness, energy, vibration. Then inner well-being, so that their health, their bodily cell will recuperate. Because when you radiate positive energy, well-being and happiness energy into your bodily cell, it will help bring about the positive vibration that will elevate your immune system. And your mind state without fear, worry, anxiety, without all the wrong thought, it will help you to recuperate very naturally. Then, of course, your lifestyle, your diet is also very useful. Because according to the Buddha, the teaching, our body has a way of telling us. If you don't take care of your body properly, it will result in problems. Sickness, disease, and all those things. Even if you are careless, heedless, simply drive around, get into trouble, accident, all things, you will have problem with your physical body. And if you don't live your lifestyle properly, you will have depression, negativity of mind state, a lot of anger, hatred, sorrow, lamentation. So all these are the result of wrong thought. When you don't have the Dhamma, you don't know how to arise the right thought. You constantly arise the wrong thought. So what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your lack of peace, your inability to sleep, insomnia, leading to depression and all those things. Then your phobia, your insecurity, your scarce memory, all this make you miserable. But if you know how to meditate, if you have the Dhamma, then you can reverse all this through developing positive energy, positive mind state. That's how inner peace leading to inner well-being. When you have inner peace, when it becomes very strong, very stable, you age very slowly. Actually, you seldom age, I tell you. When I was in the uni, even later on when I reached the age of 30-something, they thought I still student now. Yeah, I was working in the university at that time. So this inner peace and inner well-being help to maintain your youth if you want to. But the more important purpose of meditation is to develop the wisdom to awaken so that you don't have any more delusion, so that you will not suffer anymore. That is more important. That's why later on, this one, you have to relinquish, understand? Relinquish in the sense that you cannot attach to it, understand? Yeah. Because the other thing you must understand is, when you have a lot of this inner peace, inner well-being, then later on, after you manage to connect to your nature, you got a lot of this pure energy. I tell you, your physical body will be like, it's like it heals itself, you know. Then it becomes like a perfect human being, you know, perfect body, you know, during that time. But like anything else, even in our day-to-day life, you know, if you are a child, you grow up from a very poor environment, you don't have enough proper food or whatever, then suddenly you have the condition to have the means to buy all the multivitamins, the whatever supplement to help you grow, or the Chinese medicine, if you haven't taken this before, immediately when you take, it has a great effect on you. You agree or not? It happened to you before or not? It happened to me when I was young. Because before I went to MU, I stayed first year college. I tell you, the food was fantastic. The gym, the facility. Oh, for the first time, I have so much of this good food. No, nutrient all, you know. I put on weight so fast. From 94 pounds, I hit 109 within less than one term. Oh. And you feel very good. No? Then, of course, later on, got some saving money come out. Also sick. Then it helps. But after you pull already, you take some more, not much effect already, understand? But you already have that thing, understand? So this pure energy, this inner peace, inner well-being, in a way, quite similar. I say quite similar, but there's a reason for it. Quite similar in the sense that if you depend on this to have a healthy body, then you know what happened. Later on, with this condition inside there, you still fall sick, means, it's like they say, super bug. You know what is super bug? The normal bug, the antibiotic will kill. Super bug, they are the survivor. Once they survive, the normal antibiotic got no power over them. Understand? That's why you need stronger one. So this is similar. Yeah. But the inner peace and the inner well-being definitely will help you, because it will not lead to heedless thinking and delusion anymore. Because the moment you have the Dhamma, you have the spiritual faculty, this is a natural part of your mind state. You will be most of the time aware, peaceful, without thought, hardly any thought. Thought only arise when you need to use them. Otherwise, little or no thought. Most of the time, you are at peace, at ease, fully aware. So this mind state will be with you. But you cannot rely on this to continue to like assume that it will make you healthy and all those things. Of course, the benefit is there. But after your body has acclimatized with that type of mind state, if you still fall sick, means you really have to do something else already. Not easy already. And I can tell you one secret. Last time when I developed all this understanding, after I connect, if ever I have flu or whatever, I only need to rest 15 minutes or half an hour, I recover. Then after that, many years later, I realized half an hour cannot, need 2 hours. Then later on, 2 hours not enough, need 8 hours. Then later on, 8 hours not enough, need to sleep overnight. Last night you asked Pak Masri, asked Brother Tim, we were having dinner. I was sneezing like anything. And I really completely knocked off. I kena the rain and all those things. And today I'm back to normal. Because I rest one night. I say I need to rest. I told her I need to go back. So the moment I reach home about 10 p.m., I told my wife, I need to rest. Then this morning I recover. I fully recover. That is the beauty of meditation. You can heal yourself. But don't become like what they call. There is a word. Don't try to become a hero. Understand? Don't go and say, hey, I meditator, no, I cultivator, no, I can heal myself. You better don't get into this type of egoic state. Then the karmic will hit back. These are part and parcel of nature's law. You cannot simply say things, even though it's the truth. Cannot. No, nothing to do with pantang one. It's the thought, the ego. I can tell you the real happening because when I was in MU, second year, I was driving the motorbike. Then we have some discussion. Our classmate, one group of us, so they were talking about motorbike driving experience. Or they can drive without holding on to the handle, two hand free, all those things. Or then I also, that time, want to share something. Yeah, I also very good. I said, my figure eight, I got no problem. I take the exam. Figure eight, because we are so good at, then I can let go hand, also can do figure eight. Don't need to hold the handle. Some need to hold one hand. This one, both hands. Then the moment I say that, you know what happened? My nature inside alerted me, you know. They say, lah. And I didn't know what that was, no, but I knew it was pretty bad. And you know what happened? After that, I become extraordinarily careful. Then, 1 week later, there was one night, one group of us, we went to, you know, Lido Theater, right? We have our chow mein and all those things at night there. After that, we drove back. So each of us on the motorbike, some got a friend behind. I was alone. So along the Federal Highway, near the arch there, you know what happened? I was so careful. I was holding on. I dare not become a hero. And I never knew there was a pothole in the middle of the Federal Highway. And my motorbike hit that pothole. And my both hands slipped off the handle. And I fell. Luckily, got helmet. Last time, got jeans. Got jeans. So, my head okay, my leg okay, my hand kena here. Bruce. But okay, because clinic nearby, Dr. Charlie, next morning, go and see. So, apply some yellow lotion or don't know what. They give the cream and all those things. Then I recall. From that day onward, I dare not say all these things. Yes, I don't try to be a hero. Even though you can do it, don't. Because funny, you know, it will really bring about. It's only for cultivator. It will show it to you. You cannot run on. That's why this, what they call the ego, the egoic mind, you have to be careful. That time I was, I think 1978, we went in 75, 75, 76, I think 77, 77 to 78, 1977. That time still very young. But just because I said that, as I nowadays, I'm very careful. If possible, don't say anything. Keep quiet, noble silence. Okay, so all these benefits, you can expand on it when you understand. Okay, now we go through. First, inner peace leading to inner well-being. Okay, then after that, you will have clarity of mind. Then you make better decision. You can study better. You can work more efficiently. Then your health will improve. Because all these are very positive mind state, positive energy. Then after that, your mind that has samadhi will enable you to concentrate better. If you want to do research, you want to develop any understanding or what, you can go into it deep for a long time. Then you can develop wisdom leading to enlightenment. Enlightenment means you have that wisdom to liberate your mind so that you will not suffer anymore, no matter what happened, whatever situation, anytime, anywhere, any place, whatever the condition or whatever that happened, it will not trigger off suffering or misery. Your mind develops the understanding. Even when you confront the first noble truth, eight reality, no problem at all. The wisdom is very different. That one really bring about transformation, complete transformation. We call that the supramundane understanding. So you have your mundane successes like we went through just now. Then after that, when you have the spiritual understanding, you awaken, you will have the supramundane awakening. The supramundane life means to be successful in life, you need to have both the mundane and the supramundane success. Otherwise, you still can have problem, suffering, or misery. But the moment the supramundane understanding come in, the supramundane success, it will make you a perfect human being. Then you will have the noble life of an enlightened being. They call it the Pativeda. Yeah? You get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Yeah? After you have developed the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyati. Pariyati is the learning of the teaching. Then after you learn, you put it into practice. Patipati, phase two. Then after you have put it into practice and you awaken, you get to live the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. Means you get to live the life of an enlightened being. Yeah? The supramundane life of an enlightened being. Yeah? And that phase is the best phase of your life. Yeah? You can live life to the fullest. You can experience life to the fullest. Then you can get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And all these are possible. And there is no more problem, no more worry, no more fear, nothing. Everything is just beautiful. Life is just beautiful. Every moment is beautiful. Okay, Wendy? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, another 2-3 minutes. Anything else? Anybody want to add anything? Yes, Angie. Non-attachment? Non-attachment actually is wisdom. You see. Yeah, you use the mic. You repeat your question.
I mean, after learning, gaining all those benefits.
Yes.
There's also the non-clinging.
I know.
Non-craving.
I understand what you try to mean. But I have to explain it to you. You see, non-attachment, letting go, all these are words that people need to understand. If you don't understand, you cling and attach to this word, then you get trapped. Because the moment you are enlightened or you have awakened, means this form of mind connected to the nature that has awakened, that nature is the wisdom part. That wisdom connected to this form of mind make this form of mind enlightened. But this form of mind is not you, understand? It's karmically conditioned form of mind. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. So you cannot be deluded by it. So what you need to understand is the wisdom is the one that free this form of mind. With this wisdom, this form of mind is no longer deluded. When it's no longer deluded means it will not cling, understand? It will not attach. Because you know this is causing you suffering, you hold it or not? You won't hold it, isn't it? Correct or not? Let's say this is burning hot. Yeah? The moment you hold, it's burning you and tormenting you. And naturally, you will not hold, isn't it? Then what is there to let go? What is there for you to attach or not to attach? Because that wisdom free you. So a lot of people fail to understand that. They always say, you will develop what they call non-attachment. You are not attached to anything. But this is a very dangerous statement. Because the person who attached wants to let go. He cannot let go, and that's not. So non-attachment is a fallacy. When you don't understand, you say, I don't have attachment. But when there is wisdom, you can't even hold what is there to attach or not attach. You understand? Because you know this brings about suffering. You cannot be deceived by it anymore. So that non-attachment is actually a fallacy. People use it as a practice. You know what they tell you? Practice detachment. Practice not to attach. There is no such practice, anasana. Without wisdom, you will attach. Without wisdom, you will not have the ability to let go. Because what is letting go? The one who holds try to let go, anasana. The moment you hold means you have delusion, anasana. Then you want to let go. Based on what? The concept, the idea, the thought tell you, hey, I must let go. Well, this is attachment. That is the fallacy. Because when you understand with wisdom, you know this is burning and tormenting. You should not touch it. Yes.
Wisdom.
It's the same.
Yeah,
I understand your approach, Angie. It's the same. I will explain this to you. You see, you want to teach kid, hey, this is bad, this is not correct. You must not develop attachment or craving to this thing. It will bring about downfall and all those things. Do you think by telling him not to do, he will have the wisdom? He won't, understand? Now, because he, just like the Buddha said, without yoniso manasikara, you cannot cut a feeling. At the moment of sense experience, without that wisdom, feeling will become craving. It will straight away go there. And this thing that we call curiosity, the more you refuse to let them do, the more they want to do. When you're not around, they will go and do. They need to understand, means wait till they get into trouble. Now that is the time, like we say, wait till they suffer, then you talk to them. Last time I want to teach you, you don't want to listen. And now? Understand? Because without wisdom, all these are words. And this one is a fallacy. This is not teaching. You cannot teach the kid not to attach. Even you yourself. And let go lah. You know what Yun Chan told me or not? But you, other people very easy to advise. When it comes to our own loved one, how to let go? Even Dharma practitioner, last time Yun Chan was like that. But now she understands and she laughs. Last time I used to tell her, no, yoni so manasikara, wisdom. You cannot learn one. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't. She don't agree. She, what do you mean? Why you cannot learn? Everybody also learn. Learn Dharma, learn wisdom. I say, cannot be learned one. You have means you have. You don't have means. If you are not awakened through the direct seeing, that wisdom is not inside your nature, you cannot do one. Those knowledge doesn't help you one. Ayo, I know lah. Not supposed to attach. But I don't know why I still attach. I'm not supposed to have suffering one. I don't know why. So all this is knowledge, understand? You also never learn one. Not wisdom. You arise some cleverness. Understand or not? You become more clever. You see, this is knowledge. Knowledge will teach you this way. Okay. You recall to memory. Last time, I do this, there is attachment. Then I suffer. So next time, I'm going to be smart. I don't want to get angry. You know what you do? You suppress your anger. Worse. This is not rooted out yet. Understand? You just yan, don't want to get angry. Next time he come, scold me, abuse me, or what? I patient. I don't want to get angry. But this is not wisdom, understand? Wisdom is you have the understanding to accept him for what he is. Then compassion will flow. You don't have to yan, you don't have to suppress your emotion and your anger. Inside there could be chattering, this guy, okay lah, you do lah, never mind lah, I patient, I yan. Next time, all this is going on, but you never see with the mindfulness. But when you have the wisdom, it's different. You have compassion for him. Because deluded people do deluded things. Foolish people do foolish things, selfish people. So you have compassion for him. you felt bad for him as well, that you really love and metta. May he realize the truth, he or she realize the truth one day, so that his mind can also be free. Then that is wisdom. That's why wisdom got no suppression on. No need to do anything on it. Wisdom has the understanding to accept things as they are. Understand now? Whatever it is, it will accept. But this is reality. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. It could be last time karma. You did that to people, now people do to you. Understand now? And this is a reality. He like that, with that type of mentality, he will do things like that. That's why it will hit you. Then you got two choices. React to it and become miserable, or accept it and be at peace. Accept means what? Wisdom. No need to react. Nature's law. This is the way things are. Condition like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. And then your mind, free, liberate. No need to practice detachment and all those things. Okay? We better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. At least today, more questions. Huh? More of this, what they call, like, discussion. Yeah? Then you can learn more, actually. You can learn more. Because otherwise, a lot of this Dhamma, which you listen to, you may not understand if you don't use example, real-life example, to share. Or to develop further understanding. So today I think is very good. I rejoice. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We should thank both Wendy and Angie for giving us the good condition to discuss all this. Okay, now let us compose our mind and let us develop the wholesomeness to share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha and we end sadhu. Thank you.